Chapter 4, Idaho Code. Keeping one eye on the drive, her dog stationed around her, Jessie began to relate what was happening to her grandparents. She blessed the fact that her dad broke in and did most of the explaining when her granddad's face turned into a storm. At that, Acer stiffened, and Jessie reached a hand down to touch his ruff. He relaxed a bit, but throughout the rest of the discussion, as her granddad Darby kept his eyes glued on her, a frown crinkling his brow, Acer kept his attention focused on Darby. She kept telling herself to breathe as Darby's eyes kept staring. She kept stroking Acer's ruff. "I think someone's coming up the drive," Jessie's soft-voiced grandmother, Anna Marie, said. Her dad stood up. So did Jessie and her pack.
"Let's get this over with."
He glanced around the table.
"After, we're going out to dinner at the Hereford. That okay with you, Mom?"
"Yes," Anna Marie replied, her warm hazel eyes smiling. "We've not started preparing anything for dinner yet."
"Good. The Hereford it is, then."
Outside, an SUV with the word Sheriff painted on its side pulled into the Working Dog building's diagonal parking area, idled for a moment, then went still. A man about as tall as her dad, but a little lankier, got out. He was wearing a white Stetson, or, more correctly, a silver one. "That hat has to be at least 100X. How many beaver gave their lives for that vanity?" And then there were his boots, also top of the line. With a start, when her eyes finally settled on his face, a pockmarked face she recognized, she realized she knew him. Had had a crush on him in high school, just like everybody else. She backed a step. Her dogs, almost as one, rose from sitting to standing as Jessie felt her dad's hand touch her back.
"It's okay, Jessie," Oldie said softly. "Good afternoon. I'm Sheriff Landon Reed."
"Like I don't know that already." The man eyed her. The dogs eyed him. Jessie held her breath, but there was no recognition there. And Jessie blessed the fact that she'd been far beneath his sights in high school, a nobody to a somebody. It was something she'd been just as glad of then as she was now.
"You're Miss Jessica Anderson?" he asked.
"Yes." Of habit, Jessie almost said sir, but she caught herself. She was a civilian, and that distinction, especially now, needed to be maintained. Knowing how law enforcement worked, she had no doubt that Landon Reed had already secured a background check on her. He already knew all about her, probably her whole family.
"Do you have ID?"
"Yes, sir." And there it was, that ingrained habit, so much for maintaining autonomy.
"May I see it?"
Jessie nodded. Dogs trailing, she retrieved her wallet from her Suburban, opened it, pulled out her driver's license, and handed it to him. He glanced at it, glanced at her, grunted, then handed it back.
"And you called 911 about finding a dead body near Long Creek?"
"No. Through my drone's feeds, I viewed a prone body laying on the bank of Long Creek, on national forest land about 2.2 miles north by northeast of this property's northwest section corner."
"Did you attempt to communicate with the victim or go to the victim's location?"
"No. I didn't know the person was a victim when my drone picked them up on its feed. They could have been asleep, but I also didn't know if maybe they were hurt or dead. I dialed 911.
"Why didn't you attempt to go and check?"
"Because the location is remote, and it would take about 45 minutes to reach that position by road or horseback from here, which I know from experience is out of cell range. Further," and again Jessie had to stop herself from saying sir, "I was instructed to stay on the phone by the 911 operator." During the whole exchange, the dogs and her dad's heads tracked from one speaker, the sheriff, to the other, her. If the situation hadn't been so serious, it would have been something Jessie would have loved to video. At her last response, Sheriff Reed grunted and tapped something down on his phone.
"Do you still have those drone feeds?"
"Yes."
"May I see them?"
"Yes." Jessie handed him the thumb drive.
"I'd like to see the originals, please." Jessie eyed her dad. He nodded. Okay, this way. And, as a unit, they all headed toward her building, her pack splitting up to do escort, flanking, and rearguard duty. Luckily, the sheriff didn't seem to even notice. But Jessie and her dad both did. Jessie saw Ole smile his secret, gleeful smirk. Inside her office, she saw Reed eye her drones, now locked away in a glass-faced cabinet. Here it comes.
Are those your drones?
They are. She asked the dogs to park themselves on the far side of the room. All but Acer complied. Acer was having none of it. He stayed nailed to her side. Sitting down at her desk and logging into her laptop, Jessie brought up the drone feeds, both of them, then got up. There you go, Sheriff. Just hit the enter key and they'll play. Jessie motioned her dad to sit down in the only other chair, then pulled up a piece of floor for herself, sitting herself cross-legged in a position where she could watch the computer screen too, Acer sitting not downing beside her. And she felt suddenly exposed without all her dogs coming to snuggle in beside her. On a whim, she signaled, and quietly all of them came and surrounded her, her warm, furred family. By the time she felt safe, Reed was already deep into the logs that mapped computer activity. That surprised her. He was computer savvy. But not that computer savvy, it seemed. He needed her help to get back to the drone recordings. She verbally talked him through it, unwilling to leave the happy comfort provided by her canine buddies. The sheriff watched the entirety of the two drone feeds, her dad pulling his chair closer to watch them too. 30 minutes for one and 32 for the other one. By the time the videos were finally over, Jessie's butt was numb from sitting still on the cold, hard floor. I should get carpet. This isn't comfortable for the dogs either. Or maybe just some more dog rugs. It was something to think about. Reed glanced her way for just a moment, then closed out the windows on the screen and sat back. His hand fingered the cable lock on the laptop. Then he chuckled. Jessie found the sound ominous. So did the dogs. All of them sat up, and Jessie whispered to them for calm. Outside, her dad's dogs went off, and Reed swiveled the chair as Jessie's father began to rise.
"That's just one of my deputies bringing a search warrant," Reed said.
He grinned as he said it, and that disturbed her. Abruptly, he turned his face back to Jessie.
"I have a question for you, Miss Anderson. One which I don't expect you to answer, but here it is. Were you subpoenaed for deposition and/or as a witness? A hostile witness, if necessary. What would your answer be under oath to the question? Did you, a CSI certified by the ICSIA and the state of Colorado, suspect that your UAS units had recorded a fresh murder scene, along with the possible perpetrator fleeing that scene today, Tuesday, April 7th, this year, between the hours of 9 and 10 this morning? And if you did so suspect, did you report this suspicion to the appropriate authorities? I'm referring, of course, to Idaho's failure to report law, Idaho Code Section 19-4301A.
Jessie felt her face go hot. Her dad saw it. So did the sheriff. She didn't answer. All the dogs were on their feet, their focus on Sheriff Reed, and not in a good way. Surrounded by her canine pack, her copies of the search warrant and a receipt of her property in hand, Jessie watched the two SO rigs depart. Oddly, all her property had been handled by the sheriff and put into his unit. He wouldn't allow his captain to help. At least she thought it was odd until she read word by word the actual warrant and note from the judge that was attached. Then she understood. Her dad's lawyer had come through as promised. When the sheriff's rigs finally disappeared from sight, her laptop, her four external drives, and two quadcopters with them, her dad blew out a breath.
"Jessie, I think you need to tell me all of what's going on."
"Yeah, she did."
"And if I need to get you a good defense attorney?"
"Probably."